We have heard what Jesus' death meant to a variety of significant people. But what did the death of Jesus mean to Jesus? From his own words in John 19:30, it's the sixth of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. Right after he said, "I thirst," we read, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.'" Do a little parallel study on that. Turn to the other Gospels. In fact, Pastor Scott read that passage in Matthew 27:50. It tells us that Jesus cried out that statement from the cross. Very loudly, with a very loud voice, he yelled it out. "It is finished." Don't think of this as a defeatist kind of statement. "Ah, I've lost, I'm defeated, it's over, it's finished." Don't think of it, "Hey folks, the show is over, go on home." This was not his last gasp for air. This was not a bewildered sob. This was a declaration of accomplishment, a cry of victory. "It is finished." For Jesus, the cross meant mission accomplished. Tetelestai is the word he yelled out, a perfect middle indicative verb of the common verb teleo, to end, to finish, to bring to its intended goal. On the cross, Jesus' life and mission had come to its intended goal. Very same verb is used just two verses before in John 19, verse 28. Again, it says the work was done. The prophecies were fulfilled. They were accomplished. It was all done. Dr. Laney says this word was used in ancient times in connection with the payment of rent or poll tax. Receipts were often introduced by the Greek phrase tetelestai, indicating that the debt had been paid in full. With this use, Jesus was declaring the completion of his life's work. Not only was all prophecy accomplished, the obedience required of Christ is fully carried out. He actively obeyed God's will all the way to the end. And you know, Jesus was very aware that he had done that. He said what nobody in this room can say in John 18:29, "I always do the things that are pleasing to God." He knew. He had done all that the Father required of him. He had obeyed all the way to the end, to death. Even death on a cruel, lowly, shameful, hideous, excruciating cross. He had fulfilled his life's destiny. He had fulfilled all the scriptures that were written about him that he had to do. He finished it. He accomplished it. It's wonderful. And you know, that last week of his life, what we call the Passion Week, was the hardest week of all. All the way through that difficult week, Jesus refused to abandon the Father's will. On Palm Sunday, when he rode into town on the donkey, in John 12:27, he said, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour." He knew. He knew that he had to die on the cross to save us from God's wrath. He knew. He knew the sacrifice that his mission required. Unlike modern educated men of the day who think they know so much with all their philosophies and all of their degrees and do not know God at all. He knew. He knew God. He knew what he was to do. He knew God's fierce wrath against sin. He knew that was a reality. He knew that anyone that tried to deny the holy wrath of God was a fool. It was real. It was coming. He knew. He knew there was no other way to help people like you and me escape that wrath. He knew. The evil of our sin, as has been so well testified tonight, required Christ's death. Ever notice that these days people say they get offended by things? It's a political correctness. They're offended by this, and this group is offended by that. Let me tell you something. God is offended by every single person's sin on this planet. And he will not sit idly by. This is why God could not just wave his hand and forgive any sin. There is an offense. We have given offense to God. You think a simple apology is commensurate with our sin? No, God had to send Christ to the cross to remove the offense. If any were going to avoid his fearful wrath, Christ said, "Nobody comes to God the Father except through me." He knew. He knew what he had to do. In Galatians 2:21, Paul wrote, "If righteousness comes through keeping the law, then Jesus died needlessly." If you and I are pretty good people and we could just kind of work a little bit harder at it, get a little bit of religion, try to do a good job, help out a little bit more, don't kill anybody, maybe we'll make it just fine. Paul said, well, then why did Jesus come to die? That wasn't possible. That wasn't a way. Would God crush his own son if we could just kind of pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, try a little bit harder? Would he send his son to such a horrific end if there was another way? You think Jesus would say, you know, there's another way. I don't know why I'm going to go to this cross. Are you kidding me? Just let him work the other way. There is no other way. There's no other way to have a righteous standing before an all-knowing judge who can hear your thoughts. He knows every foul thing you've thought or ever said. Christ had to finish the mission. That's why this holy cry. It is finished! It is accomplished! What a victory! What an accomplishment for him. What a wonderful thing. Since the beginning of time, man has been lost. And he's on the cross. And as he's dying, he says, it's done. It's accomplished. That is a cry that has sounded forth from the Savior's dying breath down through the centuries. The church has been proclaiming that like a loud bell for centuries. The work is done. The Savior accomplished it. It's good news. Go out and tell all the world. The work has been accomplished for men. They just need to come and receive the forgiveness. It's finished. That is the nucleus of sound doctrine, sound teaching of the true church all the way through history. For 2,000 years, we've centered on that teaching. Jesus paid it all. It's accomplished. It's done. There's nothing left for us to do. That's why we say as believers, we rest in the finished work of Christ. We rest. We rest in the finished work of Christ. Not our finished work, his finished work. We don't labor to try to get saved. We couldn't anyway. We don't work hard and hope, as some people say. I hope when I die I go to heaven. I think so. We do not strive to gain God's acceptance. We don't fret about a future judgment because of our sin. Blessing is all given to us, where? In Christ. His work was so thorough, so complete. He accomplished it all. There's not even a little dot to put at the end. He did it all. We're saved because he did the work. He turned to us and said, No work left for you to do. Believe. Believe in me. Believe in my work. Believe in what I did. I'll save you. Free of charge. I think sometimes when I hear this message, people just say, that can't be. That can't be. It's like one of those commercials, you know, and they promise you something. You're like, that's too good to be true. There must be some angle. There must be something there. But I get heaven, even if I was bad? That's what he said. It's what those people testified of their sin. There's the cross. The work is done. That's why they were singing about his love. His love's so great. It's really mind-boggling, isn't it? Didn't think about it. We should never think that our actions will ever add to Jesus' finished work. If our actions, if our words, if our religion, if all the things we do added to his work, he'd have to share the glory with us. He'd have to say, well, they get a little bit of the credit. We don't get any credit. All the glory is to him. He did not say on the cross, I started it. He said, it's finished. He didn't cry out, I got half of it done. You do the other half. He didn't say, it's going to be a lot easier for you to get to heaven now. He said, it's finished. It's over. So with the sins already paid for, what was there left for Jesus to do? The seventh saying, the last part of verse 30. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. We know he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. What was left for him to do? To die. That's it. That was all that was left. Just, it's finished. Bow the head and die. Do you know the sufferings of Jesus were not good enough to save us? Did you know with all the pain that he suffered up to that point in time, if he hadn't died, we wouldn't be saved? Even the shed blood trickling down the cross, if the blood didn't pour out to death, would not have saved us. The beloved Passover Lamb of God had to be slain, killed. That's the penalty that God said for sin. Adam, the day you eat of the tree I forbade you to eat, you will what? Surely die. That's the penalty. Someone's got to pay it. God's offended. Someone's got to pay it. You know, where it says there, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. There's only one subject in the sentence, and that's Jesus. He's doing it. And there are two verbs in the sentence. A participle, bowing his head, and the verb, gave up. So literally, bowing his head, he delivered over his spirit. Paradidomi, the same verb that was used for him being delivered by the Jews to Pilate, the governor. All the delivering that went on. Judas delivered Jesus to the Jews. The Jews delivered Jesus to Pilate. Pilate tried to remove all responsibility, did he not? But then he ended up delivering Christ to the soldiers. The soldiers delivered him to the cross. It was Jesus alone who delivered his soul to death. Luke 23:46 is a quote from Psalm 31:5. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit. I love Dr. MacArthur's quote. Jesus voluntarily chose to surrender his life by a conscious act of his own sovereign will. That he still had the strength to shout loudly shows that he was not physically at the point of death. That he died sooner than was normal for someone who had been crucified, according to Mark 15:43-45, also shows that he gave up his life of his own will. Jesus chose the timing and the manner of his death. He bowed his own head, not in defeat, but in surrendering his spirit to the Father. He gave up his own spirit. Nobody forced that upon him. But hey, isn't that what he said he was going to do way back in John 10? I lay down my own life. No one takes it away from me. He was sovereign in his death. He was in control. Pinned to the cross, nailed to the cross, strapped, laughed at, naked. He was in charge of the whole scene. That was the meaning of the death of Jesus. What is the meaning of the death of Jesus to you? The Bible is not a book that was written merely to give a record of what happened. Just bare history. It gives history. It gives true history. It gives accurate history. But then explains, since we're not smart enough to figure out what's going on, here's the meaning. Here's what it means. You know, when somebody dies in a tragic accident, you hear somebody say, "What a shame. What a waste. What a tragedy." We attach a meaning to the death, right? Someone dies courageously in a fierce battle. We hold a special service for them. We put up a memorial and we say, "What a hero." A friend or family member dies away. We say, "We loved him. He lived a good life. He'll be missed." When Jesus died, Scripture says it's good news for you and me. 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel," that means good news, "which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand," listen, "by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, and lest you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." What he did. Our sins are paid for. Punishment is avoided. Eternal life is gained. Acceptance with God is guaranteed. It means what was already read. "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." His death was substitutionary. He died in our stead, and he did it perfectly. We won't spend eternity in the blackness of night and in the sorrow of regret because of his death. It means, 2 Corinthians 5:15, "He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." That's a reminder to all of us who already believe that when he died, he purchased you. You're his. Now you're supposed to live for him. Not your own will. You've got to put your own will away. You have to go. You have to die. Follow him instead. It means that we're loved forever. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We say again, what a wonderful, merciful Savior we have. This is the meaning of the death of Jesus for you, if you will accept it.